Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes his study on spiritual warfare.
Welcome to the program today. This is our fifth and final study for the week on the subject of spiritual warfare. Today what I'd like to look at is the activity of demons. First of all, demons can inflict disease. Luke 13, verse 11 testifies of a woman who had a crippling sickness, which describes that it was caused by a spirit. Also, Luke 13, 16 further describes this woman that Satan has bound her for 18 long years. And so we do see in the scripture that Satan is actually able to cause affliction. We see this also in the book of Job, where Satan was the direct cause of the affliction upon Job, who is a righteous and a godly man. So some disease can be directly due to spiritual warfare, due to demonic activity. Now, listen to me carefully. I said some. That doesn't mean that every time someone gets sick, it's from a demon. Don't go to any extremes. But we do see in the scripture that Satan can cause sickness and disease. Not only do demons cause disease, the primary thing that Satan does and his demonic spirits, they are to deceive people or to deceive the mind. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul had to write to this church that was suffering persecution, going through tribulation. Paul heard about it. He was worried about them because he thought that the enemy may come in and deceive them about this persecution upon their life. And he says this in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain." And right before it, in verse 4, he speaks about them suffering tribulation and going through trials and struggles. And he didn't want them to think that, oh, God must have abandoned them. The tempter came in and lied to them about this persecution and suffering. So Satan's primary means of influencing the believer is to deceive the believer into thinking things contrary than to what the Word of God says. Not only does he try to deceive believers, obviously he's trying to deceive unbelievers. In Ephesians 2, verse 2, it says that Satan is now working in the sons of disobedience. And primarily in that section, it's in relationship to living according to their lusts and their own desires. But then in Matthew 13, verse 19, it describes how Satan comes in and deceives people and takes away the word of God that was sown in their heart in the parable of the seed and the sowers. It's Satan that actually takes the word from them, blinds them to the truth of it. Not only does Satan deceive believers, unbelievers, but also will deceive entire nations. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 14, which describes the battle of Armageddon, the way the nations get there, it says that demons go out and actually bring these nations through deception to that place of the last great battle. So we see that the primary way in which we're involved in spiritual warfare is that Satan tries to deceive the mind. And we see this way back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, where Eve was deceived by the devil into thinking wrong thoughts about God, that God was actually trying to hold something back from him. So for the life of the believer, it's important to realize that the primary way in which we're going to be involved in spiritual warfare is through deception or through the fact that the devil is trying to deceive us. One extremely important passage on this whole aspect of spiritual warfare is Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And it says this about the cross of Jesus Christ: "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." And this word "disarmed principalities," according to Art and Gingrich, who probably wrote the best lexicon there is available today, it means to make ineffective, to nullify, to set aside. So what the cross did is he nullified the powers of the demonic spirits over our life. And it's important to understand that Jesus defeated the devil and the demonic spirits at the cross. That's where the battle was won. It says he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's language using to describe a general who's displaying the spoils of war that he has just won and conquered, totally humiliating the enemy. So we need to understand that our victory is in the cross of Jesus Christ, and he's the one that has overcome so that we are overcomers because our faith is in him. And that's so important to understand when dealing with the subject of spiritual warfare. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says this: "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So we are overcomers because our faith is in the one that has overcome all things. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, it says this: we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So there again, it speaks of the victory that we have, that the evil one does not touch us. I think Colossians 2:15 and 1 John 5:18 settle the issue that a demon cannot possess a believer. That is so far from the truth. Demons cannot possess Christians. We have overcome the world. We have overcome all of our opponents, all of our enemies, because our faith is in the one who has accomplished that on our behalf. And at the cross, that's where the victory was won. And then also, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit now takes residence up within our life, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is more powerful than any demonic force, any little demon that would want to try and come in and inhabit the believer's body. The Spirit of God takes control, and he doesn't allow something like that to take place. So it's impossible for a demon to inhabit the body of a Christian. The victory has already been won. Christ disarmed his powers on our behalf, and our faith is in him, the one who has overcome. But that doesn't mean that we're not involved in an intense spiritual warfare. Although the devil can't come into my body and make me do something, what he primarily does is he tries to deceive me into believing things that are wrong, things that are contrary to the Bible, or through temptation, trying to get me to live according to the lusts and desires of my own flesh rather than according to what the Word of God says. And there's several passages we need to look at in light of this, of how to war with the devil when he comes against us. One passage that you must know in dealing with spiritual warfare, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting there at verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And so Paul here says, even though we obviously walk here physically in a body, our battle is a spiritual battle. And we have weapons that God has given us to bring down strongholds. And strongholds is a military term that Paul is borrowing from. And a stronghold is a small area of someone's nation or someone's kingdom that the enemy would take over and then use that to bring further damage or further destruction or to advance their kingdom against the others. That's what the devil wants to do. And it's not by him coming in and inhabiting your body, but him coming in and controlling and deceiving your thoughts for you to believe lies about God, about yourself, about God's plan, about God's will, about desires and temptations to begin to deceive us. And so 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 is a passage. If you don't know it, you need to meditate upon it and ask God to speak to your heart and give you understanding, because this is where the battle is. It says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive into the obedience of Christ." That's where the warfare is. It's a battle for the mind in what you believe. And Satan wants to bring in these arguments that are higher than God's thoughts, higher than God's will, and to get you to believe those thoughts rather than what the Word of God teaches. And that's why we have to bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. You can't let any thoughts just run through your mind that are contrary to things of God. You need to deal with them. And the way I practically do that, I just pray. I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I reject that thought. I reject that lie, because that's not according to the truth. And then I replace that with what the Word of God says, and I choose then to believe the truth. And that's where the battle is. Because Satan's not going to be able to come in and inhabit your body and make you sin or cause you to do something. He's going to get you to think the wrong way, and that'll influence your life. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." So here, the renewing of the mind, that's what brings about transformation. Also in Ephesians chapter 6, we're told to put on the full armor of God. And in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." That's the first thing that you put on in the battle, is the truth, the Word of God. You understand what the Word of God says on subjects, and you live according to that. So when these fiery darts and these lies come against you, you combat it with the truth. You submit to God, you resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, as 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 tells us, and he will flee from us. It's with truth that we resist this warfare that's going on. It's a battle for the mind. And that's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so that's where our mind needs to focus, on the things of the Word of God. So when the battle comes in and the enemy wants to lie to you and say, God doesn't love you, God doesn't care for you, you don't measure up, God rejects you, you go to Romans 8 verse 1, which says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or when you're going through trials and struggles and the enemy wants to lie to you and saying, oh, God doesn't care about you, you know, he's rejected you or he's overlooked you. You go to a passage like 1 Peter 5, verse 9, which says that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. So others are going through the same thing. And so we resist these lies that come against us with the truth, and we bring that thought captive into the obedience of Christ. We analyze these lies that are coming to us based on what the Word of God teaches. So obviously you could see the importance, the supremacy that the Word of God needs to have within your life. Because if you don't have the Word of God, if you're not meditating upon it, if you're not reading it, if you're not studying it, you have no weapons to use during this battle. And I'd also say this in conclusion, that's one of the reasons we're doing this program on doctrine. We're focusing on doctrine because what a man believes affects the way he acts. And obviously, there's direct application in spiritual warfare. You need to know the truth. It's a truth that sets you free. It's a truth that's going to transform your heart, hiding the Word of God in your heart. That's what's going to help you in temptation, resisting the enemy steadfast in the faith or in the doctrine that you hold to, the truth. There's power in that. Word of God's living and active. So we need to know the truth so that when lies come, we're able to handle it. I pray that these studies on spiritual warfare have been enlightening, have been beneficial, encouraging, as well as have equipped you to be more effective in this battle that takes place.